Ladies and gentlemen, it is good to be here. I don't know if you share the same sentiment with me. Hopefully you will. If not today, you will in the future. But I think it is good to be here. I'm very excited. After this first week, there's been so many things. I've been meeting so many people, meeting with the leadership of our congregation, all the way to the oldest of the members that are maybe home, or even to the youngest of members in our preschool and our youth. And after every day of going home, I even say to myself, it is good to be here. Now, these aren't just my words, as my excitement looms. I was even noting to some others that I've been a pastor for 7 years already, and I've been getting pretty comfortable, but as I was sitting up there, I'm like, my heart's just pounding. I was like, this is new. I haven't felt like this since I was a real younger guy. But it's good to be here. But again, these aren't just my words. These are the words that we heard from Scripture. These are the words of St. Peter, as we heard from our gospel lesson in the Gospel according to Matthew. So I want to do something. I want to have you guys open up your Bibles. Each of you have Bibles in front of your pews. We want to get to learn and use those pretty well. I want you to recapture what exactly is being said. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 17. Now this will test your biblical knowledge of the books of the Bible. The first book of the New Testament, Matthew, goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But for those of you that want to get to it quick, it's on page 822. Page 822. We're turning to Matthew chapter 17. This is again recounting what we call the transfiguration of our Lord. Jesus actually is going to be looking very different than he normally had shown to his disciples. Now, this is after a period of time Jesus is teaching with his disciples, doing various parables. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother. Now, out of the 12 disciples, these are probably the closest to Jesus. Peter's the more outgoing one, the impetuous one, always ready and raring to go. Then you got James and John. They're brothers. They're said that their dad's name is Zebedee. Now, anybody have a cool name like that for your dad, Zebedee? That'd be kind of nice. But they're fishermen, and they're all together close with Jesus, and he leads them up on a high mountain by themselves. They're probably wondering, what is Jesus up to next? And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. This is not an ordinary thing that Jesus has been doing with his disciples up to this point. He's been healing people that have had leprosy or sicknesses, hanging out with the sinners of the day. All of a sudden, Jesus is something even greater. And behold, there appeared to them, not just to Jesus, but to all the three disciples, Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Now, who are these guys? They're pretty big names in the Bible, Moses and Elijah. Moses, again, way back in the Old Testament, was the guy that led the people of God out of Egypt into the Promised Land. You might have seen the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments, parting of the Red Sea. But Moses lived and died as a man back in 1400, that's 1,400 years before Jesus walked on earth. What's going on? And then you got Elijah. He was one of the most famous of the Old Testament prophets. You can read about him in the Old Testament as well. He lived and walked on this earth until he was carried away in a chariot of fire around 800 BC. 800 years before this is going on. This is a sight. And even more amazing than this is that Peter recognizes them. It says in verse 4, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. How is this possible? See, this is almost like a sneak peek into the image of eternal glory or heaven even. Peter could see these men of faith of old and even recognize them. This is a place where we can get hope for ourselves even too. One day, God will reunite us with other people of faith. But this is amazing. Peter's saying the same words. Lord, it is good that we are here. What else is Peter going to say when he sees this? Jesus is bright and shining like lightning. He can barely even see him. And then you got on both sides Moses and Elijah. I don't know what else I would say, but it's good to be here. He's probably afraid. And then as he was saying this, boom, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Where else might we have heard this phrase before in the Bible? Can I open it up? Let's show a show of hands, maybe. Anybody? Yeah. John the Baptist. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, the same thing happened. The Spirit of God descended on him like a dove when he came up out of the water. And God the Father spoke down to the people. People could hear God speaking. "Behold, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased." That was 3 years ago when Jesus started his ministry. And then it says immediately he was sent out in the wilderness to be tempted. 3 years later, we hear the same phrase as Jesus is led up in the mountain. And guess what? Right after this occasion of the transfiguration, what do we get? You can sneak peek maybe a few pages, but on chapter 21, you get the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday. It's coming up. Jesus is giving his disciples a sneak peek of what is to come. Not just what he was about to do in his earthly ministry, healing and teaching as a prophet, but Jesus is going to be showing them what he is truly all about. He's coming to be a savior. And that's why we get such a heavenly picture here. Jesus isn't just about walking along with us, but he's here to save us, bring us closer to himself. And that's why God the Father says this, listen to him. Because when we turn to verse 9, it says, Jesus says, tell no one this vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. That's what Jesus is about. To live and to die and to be raised on your behalf and mine. That's his mission. That's his vision. That's his purpose. But the disciples still aren't getting it. Even so soon, it's unrealistic joy for Peter to say, Lord, it's good to be here. Because he wanted to set up tents. He wanted to keep the past going. He wanted to keep Moses and Elijah there as long as possible. But it was unrealistic because Jesus had better plans shortly after this occasion. He was about them to show his disciples what God truly looked like and how God would truly be glorified when he goes to the cross. Now, again, it is still good to be here. Now, a few of you here were here maybe this past week on maybe last Saturday, my installation service. You were here to hear one of my best friends giving the sermon for that day. He called it God's timing was the best timing. But as something for me, he snuck in there some music titles of one of my favorite bands. If you were paying attention, anybody that was here on Saturday during my installation, during the sermon, my friend quoted 24 songs, all from the band The Beach Boys. They're one of my favorite bands. I'm an old soul when it comes to music. But he had quoted 24 either titles or lyrics from Beach Boys songs during the installation sermon up there. And I couldn't contain my joy. But one of those actually speaks a lot about today's service. One of those songs by the Beach Boys. So I want to share with you. This is from a landmark album. Get this, for those of you that don't know, they don't make MP3s. They had albums made out of vinyl. And they spun around like this. And then you had to, guess what, flip them over. But guess what? They sounded great, right? They had a different sound altogether than your CDs, your MP3s. This album was from 1966, before my time, but some would say that's when music was great. 1966, even Rolling Stone magazine called this album the second greatest of all time, behind one of the Beatles albums. But one of the songs was probably one of the most applicable for today. And it was this one, God Only Knows. Now, before that, I want to give proof that this is going to be a great song, because this guy pictured there, right next to the lead singer of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, was Paul McCartney. And this is what Paul McCartney has to say about this song. God Only Knows is one of the few songs that reduces me to tears every time I hear it. I should really be saying this in a British accent because he's British. It's really just a love song, but it's brilliantly done. It's the greatest song ever written. Pretty high praise from one of the greatest musicians of all time. But why it's so good is because it speaks to the reality at hand. It's a realistic love song, if there are any. Realistic love song. Starts out by saying this, I may not always love you. Imagine hearing that when you're doing your first dance at a wedding. I may not always love you? What? But then it goes on, but as long as there are stars above you, you'll never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. It's a realistic love song. Yes, in our day and age, sometimes people fall in and out of love, sometimes pretty quickly, and we're wondering what to do next. But this is telling us that even if that does happen, we'll stick together. Continues on, these beautiful lyrics. If you should ever leave me, what kind of love is that? Sometimes people split up in our day and age for various reasons. But if that still happens, though life would still go on, he says, believe me. The world could show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you. This is a picture of a realistic love, and it's beautifully arranged in musical form. So much so that I want to share it with you just to prove the point and why it caused Paul McCartney, of all people, to cry. So without further ado, here's a little clip from that song in 1966 that he called one of the greatest of all time.
Always love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. The world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
And it goes on, God only knows. Now, this is pretty remarkable for a pop song in that day. Nobody ever mentioned God on the radio. So partially that kept them from radio play. But for us, for the sake today, it's important because it's a picture of reality. In our lesson today, we get a picture of reality. Jesus is giving us a picture of what he is really up to do. the Son of Man would be raised from the dead. That's realistic joy. That's realistic love. That God knows you so much, and God loves you so much that he would give up his whole life for you. That he wouldn't just stay on the cross, but he would rise from the dead. Imagine the power and love behind that. And he did it for you. Yeah, he did it for the whole world, but he knew you by name, and he did it for you. And that's what Transfiguration Sunday is all about, to give us a sneak peek at that glory of that realistic love. And again, when we know that, we remember that it's good to be here. It truly is good to be here. For me, as your new pastor, I will continually say the same words. Yes, there are ups and downs. There are challenges in this church, in this community. But it's good to be here, gentlemen and ladies, kids. There's so much hope. There's so many things wonderful about you all and this church that we can continue to say it's good to be here in this place called Bethlehem. But remember that it's also good to be out there when you look through those windows, because it's here that we are equipped and fed to be little examples of Jesus into our community. And they need us. And it's good to be there too. So I encourage you today that as you all reflect a little bit of that shimmering, shining love of God, that you would continue to share that with people in your life. There's somebody hurting and in need of you just as much as you might be needing God when you come to this place. So when you go today, remember how much God truly knows and loves you and how much you can share that with one another. And that's a reality that we can all agree upon. We're not about to set up shop and make a tent like Peter. We're out to accomplish something, just as Jesus did for us. So remember, as my words to you, it is good to be here. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.